we really have to delve into the business side of things as well. We don't have the record labels to be able to do that for you. They exist and they are slowly getting to that level. But like you said, digital transformation here is going a little bit more slowly because the community in Suriname generally doesn't really adapt things so quickly.
Hey Jason, welcome to Creative Convos. It's been a while, man. It's been a hot minute.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Devin, me and Jason go like way back, PWO time, high school time. We actually performed together like Got Talent. Was the first Got Talent. We were the OGs, Jason.
It was a hell of an experience.
And that was the time you actually, you know, if I remember correctly, started picking up music more seriously as well. You had a guitar, bass guitar. I remember those jam sessions, you know, practicing at your house for the competition. So that was really fun times, man.
That actually played a big role in me taking music more seriously, especially the guitar playing. Not gonna lie.
If I look back those days, like you have improved tremendously, man. You are already great back then, but taking up to another level. But
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's dive straight into it. So you've been over the years after, you know, we left high school, kind of everyone went, the group went their separate ways. And I've seen you over the years, you know, been part of some music videos, playing that, rocking that guitar that one of Uncle Kate's playing. And then you started your own studio as well, Hercules Studios. Is that the official name? Hercules Records.
Official name is Hercules Records. Right.
Hercules Records, built your own studio and looking great. Still need to get that tour. So I guess what made you decide to, you know, go deeper and chase that passion of making music and starting your own production company?
Quite frankly, I felt it was something I could learn and get good at. So I just wanted to spend as much time with it as I can, and just building my own studio felt just like the next logical step at the time. When I first picked up the guitar, I felt like, hey, this is something I could get good at. I didn't really have anything at the time which I felt so passionate about. So I just went with it and just see how far it could take me. And naturally, I started just getting more into producing music and just let it build up from there. So the next step in my head was like, I need to have my own studio just to give myself the most creative freedom I could possibly imagine.
So if we're talking about music production, so we talked about, you know, making music, playing the guitar, and having a product. What's so different in production? It's very nuanced, but what's the difference in music production and making music?
Well, music production is actually... It deals much more than just making music. Making music is kind of like a small part in the whole production process. A production process can be anything from bringing the right people together. Just it's more like a joint thing, you know. And it's also after the creative process has been, just making sure it can live up to quality standards, so it can be played on the radio or published, and all of those aspects together make a production company. Generally speaking, making music and music production isn't really all that different. But when we talk about making music, it's more like people get in their mind, it's more like together and just having fun or having like a jam session, you know. But making music production is actually taking that and making it actual feasible product, which can be replicated and produced on a bigger scale.
You established your own record production company. What was it that was lacking? Did you not find the right locally or internationally companies to approach? What was that barrier, or, you know, that the trigger that decided, you know, I'm not going to look for somebody or approach a production company. I'm going to start one myself. Because it, as you said, it's a daunting task. It's much bigger than just creating music.
It is, but I wouldn't really call it a barrier because the community in Suriname is very open. A lot of people don't really realize it, but people really welcome the new people into making music. It's not really a barrier. I just wanted to give myself the space, you know, to create something entirely new, something different without really having to meet other people halfway, if that makes sense. It's more like I just wanted to have my own thing. What would I need to really dive deep and create my own sound? And that's when I knew I really need my own company, so that I really didn't have to. Maybe it's a little bit of pride or something like that, but so that I really didn't have to listen to other people to tell me what to do.
So basically, you wanted to have all the rights in your hand. If I'm correct.
Not the rights, more like the creative freedom. A lot of those other studios or production companies in Suriname is more, they already have their kind of established way of doing things. There's not really a set way to do things in a creative space, not only with making music, but with anything creative. So I wanted to create my own process and to be able to do that, to have the space to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of the creative space, aside from music, you've been, you know, dabbling in editing since back in the day, video editing. We used to make those AMVs with Akka and those guys. Good old days.
Right.
Yeah, and you also did the, what's this called? You did some graffiti art, or some, you know, illustrations as well. And I remember, I think you guys covered the wall at the school, you know, at some point.
Right. It still stands, by the way. I went there not too long. I see it's still there. There's a lot written all over it now, but it's still there.
Has that, I guess, those creative skills, do you still, you know, utilize them? Do you still draw? Has that added to the experience from having your own studio, aside from just making music? Do those skills, you know, complement it?
Yes, it does. Those two things aren't so mutually exclusive as people think. You got to be very visually inclined as well, especially when I make my beat videos. For example, I sell beats online. I use those skills almost daily just to edit the videos and, you know, do those videos and stuff like that. Yeah, those things kind of go in hand. You got to be in the same mind space, you know, being creative. It applies the same way to music as it to drawing or anything, maybe even in business, like being an entrepreneur, you have to be very creative as well.
Hold that thought, because I checked out that those beats, some of them that you released, like I think a few weeks ago, and those trap beats are fire. I was just laughing to them, but we'll go back to that in a bit. I want to stay in the realm of, you know, the studio and the label for a second. As you said, yeah, even though the community, music community here is very open, everyone has their own process, and you like that, you know, that control and freedom within your own process. If we look at the technical infrastructure of music production here in Suriname and, you know, releasing it in the world, a lot of people used SoundCloud back in the day. I don't know if that's still a thing. But with the recent rise, you know, availability of Spotify, how do you see the landscape now developing for, you know, musicians, people who make music, and production companies?
When Spotify came in Suriname, they expanded in 80 countries, which included Suriname. So in the music streaming world, Spotify controls like 80% of all music streaming, or maybe even more. So it's only just going to get bigger with or without Suriname. So I think, we already know that stream is the future. So I think Spotify will eventually take over Suriname's streaming landscape as well. SoundCloud has existed for a long while and had gotten bigger in recent years, but it's kind of a different landscape because SoundCloud really doesn't generate revenue for the artists. Spotify does. Because it's such a big company, there are more guarantees related to you getting your royalties and your streaming revenue. There's more guarantee that you will actually get it at the end of the day. So there are artists out there who are still on the fence about joining Spotify. I think you should join as soon as possible because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you mentioned a very important thing, the revenue. And
right,
the stigma is, you know, music makers, illustrators, anyone in the creative space, they're all poor. That's the general stigma. You can't make a living out of that. You know, that there's just a few gems that people see, like the big names that really make it. Having that opportunity to generate all this revenue, how difficult is it to actually get that? Because even though you have the streaming now, there's still a lot of infrastructure there that's, you know, sometimes a barrier for people. How did you establish that, I guess, a pipeline for yourself?
Before I get into that, I will say the music and or in general, they portray an image of a lot of wealth and a good life, a good financially great life, which is not fairly, which is not completely true. Most artists will not have tremendous success financially in their lifetime. That is the fact. That is not something, that's just not my opinion. It's kind of like a high risk, high reward type of living strategy. If you're the type of person who likes guarantees in their life, maybe this isn't the life for you, for any artist. You will always be sure where your next paycheck will come from. Being creative, making music or other creative endeavor, you will have to take comfort in that. That being said, if you make the choice to be able to pursue these dreams, there are ways to monetize it, various different ways. Like I will take myself, for example. Like I said, when I post the beats online, right? The beat on the online marketplace is really massive. It's so massive in fact that it's kind of a little saturated, just like YouTube is right now. It's very hard to get noticed. And the chances are very small that my particular beat will speak to an artist in that ways that he will be driven to buy it, you know? But it's very important to keep doing that just to create a little bit of brand awareness, so that you're able to get these. Maybe it's not the typical beat the person wants, but just what he hears will make that he takes contact with you.
Yeah, he hears your styles and he likes it, and then, you know, they reach out.
Yeah, but so, that particular beat, you know. So
yeah,
I mean, you don't really see a lot of beats, but you do get a lot of phone calls saying, "Hey, can you make me something a little like this? Because I heard this, and it will. It's kind of like something I'm looking for." So you need to get your brand out there. That's the most important thing.
So
just so that when people are looking for music, you can get on their list of potential people they get contact. So the brand awareness thing is kind of like the most important thing. I don't sell many beats, but I do get a lot of phone calls for people who want me to make a custom beat for them. And then you can charge more. So in that way, you can create more monetary gains for yourself, because beats don't really go for much money, but a custom beat can go for a lot more money. Simply said, creating brand awareness is kind of like the most important thing, just like anything in business.
Basically, what you're saying is you're creating brand awareness by putting in videos on with your beats. Is that what you're getting it?
And not just with my beats, just trying to portray a specific sound.
A certain style that you're familiar with, or you want to portray yourself, the style you want to show people, "Hey, I'm making these kind of songs, I'm making these kind of beats." And by doing that, by posting that, you create a brand. And then people, you attract certain people that want your style of brand or a piece of that.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's not much different from kind of what you're doing, because even though that's your entry point, right, for people to get to know you, if they like it, they can buy that. But it's more like you're positioning yourself, yeah, on the internet. If you're not even there, people won't even find you. But you're positioning right. yourself like strategically so that people can get in touch directly. And I think that's a great thing you mentioned, that it's like a kind of a mental model that for income that people need to adapt to, you know, that it's not what you're right. actually creating, that those are more like passion projects that you do for yourself, right. but also for, you know, increasing your reach. And then you capitalize exactly. on that by getting these clients or these individuals or these companies to you, and then right. you create something specifically for them. And that's a really good approach. And has that been, you know, working for you here with the local environment, the ecosystem?
Yeah, in a way. It's not, I don't have a massive client list, but for what I'm looking for, it has been working for me. I'm not able to fully survive on it monetary, but I do also have my other job. I do have means outside of music to make money, but it's enough for what I'm doing right now.
Is it only locally that people have approached you, or have you already, you know, delved into the international space, getting reach there?
Not yet. I don't think my reach has reached that level yet. So it's mostly locally.
Do you think you'll reach that point that, you know, you can sustain yourself with this type of work, and, you know, that you enjoy, and be able to let go of your, you know, day job? You think that's something in the realm of possibilities within the ecosystem we have now?
It's possible, and I welcome it if it happens, but it's not really a goal of mine. I just make music it's just something I do, you know. I got into it not really having the great ambitions or the big goals, just to make this just to become as big as I possibly can.
You said for now you don't have, we're going to call it phone calls from international inquiries or international phone calls. But do you have a strategy to maybe work on that, to go to extend your reach to more, international reach?
Yeah, so my strategy is just to keep doing what I'm doing. If I'm able to create a bigger presence online, then it will come automatically. That's my main focus has always been the internet when it comes to music. I don't go to the radio or anything like that here locally. Everything is online. So if your reach gets big enough online.
If you look at, you know, in my opinion, production in general, the level of, you know, quality and attention to detail that has been developed over the years here in Suriname has improved tremendously from, you know, the cinematography, the music. If you look at artists like, you know, Benjamin Faya, Carter, a few of them have already gone internationally. Do you see a future where we here can have, you know, or let's rephrase it. What do you think is still missing here for artists here and production companies here to get more out there, to get more, you know, listens, to get more internationally known?
Honestly, maybe I'm a bit optimistic, but I don't really think there is something missing. I just think that we just haven't quite reached those levels yet, because these things take time. I feel Suriname is very, very successful in music, but if you're going to compare it to other countries, then it will seem like it's not very successful. If you're gonna compare Jamaica to the UK, for example, Jamaica's not on the level that the UK is at, but they're still very, very well established in the music scene. And the same with Suriname. Locally, for the past 10 years, for example, it's grown tremendously. But then again, the blueprints here is still for, if you wanna reach a bigger audience, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to go to the Netherlands, or you're going to have to go to the States. And that is true to an extent. You got to decide what the definition of success actually is for you. You know, if you want a massive audience, then I suggest you leave as soon as possible. It's just that simple. But if you want to be there are a lot of successful Surinamese artists, but successful is like, it's relative, you know?
Yeah, is it like, you know, so, listens, streams, fans, is it the creative exactly, freedom, is it the income?
You have Surinamese artists who get millions of views on YouTube. In my head, that's a pretty decent definition of success. Wouldn't you agree?
I want to expand on that. It's a good plan. Like you can leave as soon as possible to get the bigger level or the higher level of success. But wouldn't be awesome also if you built a certain financial structure that helps you get certain tools to expand to the level of international success? We are in a state right now in our country that we are going to digital transformation, but the digital transformation is not coming fast enough as we're talking about financial structure. We still need somebody outside the country to fix our Spotify and even to tunnel it. That was then, but now we have Spotify here. In some certain way, we are still hooked on the old system of the way they're doing financial stuff here. And the banks are blacklisted. So if there was a better financial structure here, I don't think we have to go abroad. Because then again, if we look at now the whole corona, a lot of things are happening online. You don't have to go anyplace. So if you have that structure, if you can build a certain structure for yourself digitally, I don't think we have to go. It gives you an extra option. You can go, you can leave, but now you have a choice also. You can do it at home. You have like you have in your studio right there. People can record there and promote everything via using certain tools. Now we have Spotify, we have YouTube, you can put your clips there. And now people can receive money. But the receiving part, there's where the problem lies, because some certain tools do not recognize our financial structure or the way we're doing financial stuff. So if that would be fixed, I don't think many artists would leave. This is just my idea of...
But you should find ways to be able to fix that for yourself. And it is possible here. But we don't have like the companies who do that for us, like outside of Suriname. So it is possible, but you really need to do those things for yourself. You can set up your own PayPal accounts, anything, you can do it online. So it is possible that but you really, as an artist in Suriname, you really have to delve into the business side of things as well. We don't have the record labels to be able to do that for you. They exist and they are slowly getting to that level. But like you said, digital transformation here is going a little bit more slowly because the community in Suriname generally doesn't really adapt things so quickly.
I definitely get what you're saying, Jason, on, you know, the it is possible. And not just we're diverting a bit to a more business talk now, but I think it is important to mention that these things are possible. I myself have over the past 4 or 5 years has been a, you know, yearly thing, figuring out every kind of loophole there is to get your transactions from this country A to country A, to country B, to country C, to your pocket to be able to spend it. And I think there's a mindset there that people are still stuck in that, you know, I need to get that money in my pocket. And I think it needs to shift more in the direction I need to be able to spend it, invest it in yourself again.
For me personally, I don't, all the revenue I create online stays online. I never remove it, put it in my pocket, you know? It's all that money into the business. I never really looked at it as I need that money to here so that I could spend it on a corner, you know?
Exactly.
I have other money for that.
Yeah,
so we need to get in a mindset. We need to get more into that business mindset that the revenue you create online, you should try to keep online. Actually, that's what I do. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but that's what works for me. So I never really delve into how do I get the money from there into my pocket.
No, I agree. Yeah. I've been, you know, doing the same thing. It's basically your buffer, because then if you need to transfer things from here to outside again, there's all these fees and obstacles that you need to clear again. But if you have that buffer right there, you can operate more flexibly and, you know, get things done, get the, if you need something designed. But yeah, here you're a one-man army with your, you know, editing skills, your designing skills. Out of curiosity, how much of, you know, the studio production, the logo is done by you, and how much have you outsourced?
I've done everything myself. I haven't outsourced anything.
So even
it's kind of a short answer, but yeah, that's
it.
Like I said, you need to be a little business minded to this thing. And I don't really have the finances to really outsource these things. I need to do it myself. It doesn't make financial sense for me to spend all this money on a music video, for example, when I don't get enough YouTube streams to be able to recoup that. When I'm at a level where those streams are coming, then it would make sense for me to outsource it. Because there's also a limit to my skills, if I may say, to bring it to the next level, I must outsource it then. But now it's not the time for that. So right now I do everything myself. Yeah.
So that brings the question, the latest song you released with the music video, I think that's right? One of your most streams now, right? I saw you share something a few weeks ago on Spotify. So walk us through that production, like from, you know, writing the music to recording the guitar solo and the singing and to the music video. Was that all you? How did you, you know, map that out?
For me, it always starts with the beat first. And when I have a melody, I just kind of hum along to the melody and I make sounds. It may sound a little weird, but then I make sounds like, yeah, blah, slah, da. Then I look for words that rhyme with that sound. And around that, I kind of create a story. And that's what becomes the song. Of course, it all has to mix. But then again, every song is different, but that's like the main thing I do with every song. I always start with the melody and all the vibe that I'm trying to give off. With I Know, for example, I knew I wanted it to sound sexy. That was like the main thing. So I wanted to make it sound as sexy as possible. And that's kind of the idea I started with.
And how do you go about translating this to a music video as a one-man production army?
Well, I just try a lot of different things. When you see the music video and it has like maybe 20 shots, that's the 20 best ones that stayed from 100 shots. And then so I try a lot of different things and see what speaks to me. I only shot that one video myself. So I don't have a process where I say, hey, this works and this doesn't work. So I'm really still in the process of trying a lot of different things out and seeing what works. I didn't really map it out. I really didn't have a script like that, you know? I just tried a lot of different things and see, hey, this kind of looks cool. And then I build on that.
You could basically use that as a base script for future, you know, productions. And once you have that workflow done, you can eventually expand your army of one.
Definitely. This is just the army of one thing you mentioned. It's just what it is right now.
Yeah.
But it's not something that should stay this way. Of course, I want to expand. To be able to get bigger, you need to expand. You need to have a team. And that's like the next step, definitely.
So have
because you... Because I'm really wearing myself thin to be able to do all of this on my own.
Yeah, I was about to ask. It's really, I assume it took a lot of hours to get from, you know, the point from the melody to actually, you know, releasing it on YouTube, full on video, graded everything, lights. So have you ever, what's the status on, you know, collabing with others? Have others approached you yet to, you know, collab on music? And how do you deal with collaborations and, you know, music rights and all that stuff? Or is it like, let's just make something great?
Yeah, the split and that comes after. When I try to collab, we just go in and try to make something. Because I've collabed a lot, but many of those projects came out just because it doesn't always work, you know? So you just go in, try to create something great, and when you have something, then you calculate the splits and stuff like that afterwards. But I have been approached quite often to collaborate. Sometimes I do, but not often. I will be honest, and I don't collab a lot, but I'm open to it.
What does it take for you to say yes?
The idea. Is it a dope idea? Is it something I could add to and make a decent enough impact on the project? Or is it something that anyone could do? I'm not really that interested. Go find someone else. But if it's something really dope, then something I could add to the project, you know, when you hear this or you see this and you can say, hey, this is definitely something, Jason, then I will go along with it.
So basically, it has to be an extraordinary project.
Also, it challenges you more, you know, because I did, for a while, I did like commercials for the radio and stuff like that. And it's a paycheck, but it's not particularly fun. And you got into this stuff because it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to stay fun. Otherwise, why do it at all? It costs more money than it makes money. So it's got to be fun.
I know what you're talking about. I tried one project for making a TV spot. And man, script, the person, to find the person, to shoot it, to edit, to satisfy the client, to get it out there. No. No, thank you. It's the first, and I think it will be the last to make those kind of spots. So I get you.
Coming back to, you know, when people hear it, oh, that's something Jason made. How would you describe your sound? How would you, you know, describe Jason's signature sound or Hercules Records signature sound?
Well, it differs. When I create my beats, the beats sound very full, I feel, compared to other like trap beats. So I put a lot of little weird things in there. It's very hard to describe, but it's something like when you hear it, you'd go like, but with my own music, it kind of has like a sort of sensual feel to it. The guitar plays a big role in that. Yeah, I think the kind of bluesy R&B type of sound is something, when it comes to my own music, where something where people could say, hey, that's something Jason.
Yeah, you know? I remember from back in the day. That
I hope I'm making sense.
No, I remember from, you know, back in the day that there was something you always had with the, you know, eventually the guitar starts singing. And then, but for the first part, the beats part, from the beats I've listened to, I think I kind of understand what you're going for. I didn't check all of them out yet. I listened to two, I think. But yeah, I was really bobbing to those. So I think I kind of understand, but probably once, you know, you release more, you start to recognize the sounds and patterns. Because for example, one of my favorite artists is, for example, Alan Walker. And he has a very distinct sound as well. So you can immediately hear if it's been mixed or, you know, produced by him. So I think I understand that part or what you're saying. There's kind of a signature undertone to it.
Exactly. Because trap music, or trap beats generally, have a very strong emphasis on the drum part, the drum and the bass part, with kind of a simple melody on top. But I try to expand on the melody as much as I can. My trap beats have a lot of top end compared to other beats who have more emphasis on the low end. That's why where I try to differ a bit. It's something that's very hard to describe, if I'm honest, but yeah. It's something I just recognize when I hear it. If I'm going to stick to this.
No, definitely get you. We've asked previous guests that have been on. It's something I've asked most of them, how do they describe themselves or the uniqueness. And it's always challenging to, you know, articulate it into words. Because it's kind of like a feeling and something that you hear and recognize, but not necessarily can describe. But I do think it is important to be able to vocalize it in articulate words to a certain extent.
Very much so. People hate artists for this, you know, because quite often we vague with our descriptions of things. And to be able to make things more concrete, it's a challenge, but it's definitely needed. Yeah. So, yeah, conversations like this is good practice for that.
That's really cool. So I want to go back to the studio a bit. So if you're looking at studio equipment and, you know, you've really invested in this, you already had the music instruments from, and I assume you upgraded some of them as well. So how much, if you look back, you know, 10 years back and your growth now, how much would you say have you worthwhile invested in the equipment, as in have you bought equipment that you've almost never used, and is there one piece of equipment that's like, oh, this is one of the best investments I've made?
Well, the best investment I say get a good computer. That's end of the day, that's the heart of every video, especially now in the digital age. So you will never lose money on a ball and computer. That's facts. I bought way too many guitars that is needed. You know, I have too many guitars. That definitely, and there are a lot of guitars I never play, and also a lot of amps that I never play. Things like a good audio interface pays for itself. A good computer pays for itself. Good studio monitor, a good microphone. Those things pay for themselves. I would say those are the most important investments I made during the years. And the guitars, I like the guitars as a collector, but it's not needed. It's nice to have, but it's definitely not needed. And also, this may seem like overkill, but invest in the space as well. The place where you're working, you're going to spend a lot of time there. So make sure it's as nice as possible.
No, sorry. I was just about to ask, could you expand on that, the space? Because you went out of your way to build from the ground up your own studio. So could you expand on your thought process on the space and, you know, what works as a creative space?
I see the writing on the wall also, if you look behind him.
Well, a place where you can, if you're going to do stuff like this, you're going to spend hours and hours and hours on end in the same space seated. So you need to feel very comfortable in it. I know I like the wood and the wood tone. I like yellow lights. So I expanded on that a lot. I did my studio fully wood. The walls are stone, but yeah. And sometimes you got to make a little bit of a compromise. For example, I have windows in my studio, which is a good idea for a music studio. If you acoustics, it reflects. It's a flat surface. But then again, just to feel comfortable, I need to be able to look outside. I need to be able to feel the sun coming through. So that's the compromise I have to. And to me, that's more important than having the best sound quality possible. That's more or less on what I focused on. I'm very aesthetically inclined. So if it doesn't look nice, I tend to feel less comfortable with it.
No, but it's something most of us have. I myself, you know, it's kind of, you know, visually pleasing and aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Because some underestimate it really adds to it.
Yes,
and
it
I've been doing a lot of, you know, video editing too, and one aspect is, aside from the visual aspect, the underlying sound design really elevates the production as well.
Yes. So, and that's kind of a pipe dream of mine as well, to be able to write a film score. But that's just, you know.
You never know.
But anything is possible, but it's not a focus right now.
It's the interplay between creative fields that I find so intriguing, from the sound to the visuals to the motion pictures, and just to, you know, the space you're sitting in with, as you said, the wood. It all comes together, and that's what I find really beautiful as, you know, creatives in that space. Now that's just what I wanted to add to that.
Yeah, I have a few questions. Like, I just checked out this YouTube and I saw the trap beats. Is there only trap beats in the making, or do you have some cinematics also, like cinematic music? Because it might be also a good idea to get you more into the music space. It would be also nice if you play a bit with music, like sounds for music, for movies or cinematics, or for cinematography, sorry. And then it will gain you also access more for, you know, a certain reach. Is that also a possibility for you?
Yes, I'm open for anything. So that piece is thing I'm doing right now. Just also the market is so huge for it right now, so that's kind of why I focused on it. But I'm interested in all types of music. Funny thing is, I don't listen to as much hip hop as people think. I usually take my inspiration from outside, mostly video games, if I'm honest. The soundtrack for video games are usually very well done, and those are quite often for me very inspiring something.
Is there one in particular that stands out, that comes to mind immediately, if you have an example of a video game score?
Well, Zelda is probably top of the list. Not the Breath of the Wild doesn't really have a score. Older Zeldas, mostly Nintendo games have amazing music. Super Mario Galaxy has a fantastic soundtrack. It's fully orchestrated. It's truly blowing. And Snake Eater from Metal Gear Solid is very cool. Final Fantasy has a couple of great music. Sephiroth's theme, you know?
That is iconic. That is so iconic.
Iconic, truly iconic. In movies, Hans Zimmer, he works a lot with Christopher Nolan. He got a lot of the boom, boom,
yes,
boom.
Inception. Inception.
Exactly. Or Tenet as well.
Yeah.
He's probably him and John Williams, they created the Star Wars theme, mm-hmm, are one of the best in movie music.
So I take it if you watch movies, you also listen to the soundtrack, or who made the soundtrack?
Sometimes, not all the time, but yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Even in the visual, just the special effects, I sometimes believe. It's not something I do, but it is something that interests me, just to know.
Cool. That's good. That's very good to keep up with the game.
Exactly.
I was trying to pitch him an idea, you know, he can use, but that's for him. But then again, I also wanted to know if he really checks out the movie soundtracks, because I do. I'm not in the space for music, but I do enjoy some soundtracks, some OSTs.
So I guess to close this up, Jason, it's been really cool to hear, you know, the progress you've made throughout the years, building your own studio, getting your songs on Spotify, already hitting the thousands of streams. So that's really cool. So my last question, or I guess it's just a thought, it's a two-parter. So the first part is, one, what can people expect from you in the next few months? Anything in particular you're working out that you're willing to share? And the second part is, what would you say to someone who is in your position? You were like 5 to 10 years ago, just starting out. to pursue this?
Okay, the first question is, in the upcoming months, just more music from myself, and I'm really going to hone in on this, on creating an online beat platform. For the future, I really, Hackless should be like a one-stop shop for anything music related. I just want the music industry, if you want to call it that, is very fragmented. You want to make a song, you got to get a beat at this guy, you got to go record at this studio, you got to shoot a video at this guy. I want to make everything. I want Hercules Records to be like the one-stop shop, just so that the artist can come in and just do his work and we handle everything. And what was the second question? What would I say to myself 5-10 years ago? Was that it?
Yeah, yourself or someone in your position who's, you know, trying to pursue something in the music or creative space in general. It's not, of course, it's not all glamour and glitter, but what would you say or advice would you give to, you know, things to look out for or just go for it?
Don't go into it with a big expectation. Just do it just because you love it. You know, so if you're on the fence on it, just ask yourself, is this something that really brings me joy? Then you can't go wrong. That's what I would say.
Yeah, awesome message there. So last thing, where can people find you? Hercules Records. You got a website, YouTube, Instagram. We'll put those in the description as well, but you can, you know, say it out loud now and then we'll close off.
Hercules Records on all the socials, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, everywhere, just Hercules Records with a K. And website not yet, but it's coming.
Thanks, Jason, for being on Creative Convos, and hopefully we'll see more of you in the future. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you guys for having me.